So this love, it's unbelievable. It's unreal. And how God makes you just look at Him and can make you just focus on Him. So it's just a crazy day today. And to top everything off, at 6 o'clock, my wife calls. She said, "The kids have locked the keys in the van. Can you come home?" I'm like, "No, I can't come home." And I was thinking about the sermon I preached a couple weeks ago. I was like, "Yeah, I can come home." So I go home, and, you know, I'm not happy about it because, you know, I wanted to be praying and thinking about tonight. And so I go home, and we load the kids up, and little Molly, my four-year-old, sits in the front seat next to me. I don't have an airbag. Yeah. And so we're on our way here, and Will's in the back. He says, "Dad, Mom told us that you were supposed to teach a volleyball class when you met her, but you would always skip the first part of the class to go see Mommy." I said, "Well, that's true." And Molly says, "And then you married." I said, "That's right." She goes, "Daddy, even before you married, were we in Mommy's heart?" And I said, "Yes, honey, you were in both of our hearts." She goes, "Yeah, but then we fell out of Mama's heart into her belly." You know, right now, that's the explanation that I'm going with at their ages. You were in Mama's heart, you fell into her belly, and the whole time that little bright-eyed girl's talking to me, God is just saying to me in the car, "I love you. I love you. I love you. Some things are tough. They're going to be okay. I love you. I love you." It was just a little overwhelming. Come here tonight in what was supposed to be an interruption, and it was a blessing. And I can't tell you how many times what looks like something that's going to be an interruption turns into a blessing. Something that God does out of the ordinary just to say, "I love you." And John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, I want to say just a couple things. My good friend Ronnie Miller, sitting right down here, kind of in the middle. He's in a wheelchair, was in a real bad accident. And, man, I'm so glad you're here tonight. And God's just doing a healing in his life. And, man, just glad you're here. Really, really appreciate you. And I want to take this opportunity also to say, because he's normally not in here, but Jeff Reynolds is sitting over here. They're doing construction back where they have their Bible study. And I just want to tell you all how much I love Jeff Reynolds and what a godly man that he is. And my prayers to the Lord have been, "Lord, just give me half the wisdom that Jeff has. Because the half the wisdom he has will get me a long way." But Jeff, I love you and I appreciate you. And we're praying right now for Jeff and Aaron's niece. And you all just really keep her in your prayers. And just keep lifting them up to the Lord. Dear friends, John uses this kind of intimate phrase, friends, because he's writing to the church and he's reminding them that we're in this together. And I don't know about you, but no matter how tough it gets sometimes, it is so refreshing, even when it's tough, just to know we are not in this alone. We're in this together. And so I know Ronnie, now Lisa's one of our new piano players, and that's Ronnie's wife, and isn't it great to know we're in this together? And I know Jeff and Aaron, that we're in this together, and people are praying for us, and people are loving us, and we're in this together. Dear friends, let us love one another. Let us love one another. I don't know how many times John has said this. Maybe I should have counted before tonight. But he has said over and over, sometimes when I'm preparing to preach, I'm like, "Well, Lord, I've kind of already said this." But you know, the Lord found it worthy to be repeated because we need to be reminded of this. Dear friends, let us love one another. And there are four different words in the Greek for love, but the word that's used here over and over is agape. And that's a God kind of love, which, let me tell you what kind of love that. That's a selfless love. And that means my love is, I can love in a way that's beyond what I personally am even capable of. That I can love in a God kind of way. And John's saying, "Listen, I want you to love each other. Like, I don't want you to love each other like the love that's in the world. Because that is a cheap love that typically has only selfishness at its heart. And he says, I don't want you to love like that. I don't want you to love because you might get something in return. I want you to love because everything that can be given to you already has. You've received the greatest thing that you could receive. And so I don't want you to love with expectations of how it might set you up or what it might do for you. I want you to love beyond yourself. I want you to love each other in such a way that it's costly to love. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, I've had a lot of interesting conversations about what this means, because people say, well, you don't have to be a Christian to do good things. And I always have to say, well, it depends on how you define good, because I want to remind all of us here tonight, God is not in this for the good. God is in this for the best. Because good is cheap in the eyes of God, because He has the very best. And that's why the word for love is agape, and it's a reminder of a God kind of love. The sacrifice that God made so that we could know Him. It was a costly love, in that God sent His only Son to die on a cross so that you and I could know Him. And He's saying, guess what? We're in this together, and that means that this, God is in this with us. God is in this with us. He's just reminding us over and over, let us love one another. For love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The implication is this, and some of you aren't going to like this, but the implication is this, that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are incapable of true love. Now, a lot of people take issue with that. And a lot of people, they don't like that, and they feel like, well, you know, but we only have access to the love of God through the cross and the resurrection. It's only through a personal relationship that I can really love that way. And here's my question for us. Here's the challenge tonight. Are you loving people in such a way that it's bizarre to the people around you? Do you love in that kind of a way? I mean, what's the hallmark of the way that you love people? What do people think about that? Because I'm afraid a lot of us, we're just into cheap love. We're just into loving so that we can get something else back or something in return. I'm trying to see how many kids are here, because there's a story I would love to tell you. I'm not going to tell it. I'll tell it another time. It's just one of the most powerful stories, but isn't that horrible? Isn't that mean? But I'm not going to do it. No, I really, it's very graphic, and we'll just pray about it. How's that? I didn't pray about it. It wasn't in the script. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's just a great example. I just need to shut up about it, don't I? Just move on. Okay. It's the most powerful story you'll ever, never hear. That kind of a thing. And so it's only through Jesus that I can have that kind of love, portray that kind of love, live out that kind of love. But I want you to know the temptation of my life is not to love that way. The temptation of my life is to love to see what might be in return, or love bigger and better so that the blessings are bigger and better. Because I want you to know that there's no promises attached to this as far as, and if you'll really love in agape way, I'll just shower blessings on you. It doesn't say that, because I'm already getting the greatest thing that I could get. And that's eternity in heaven forever and ever and ever. Okay, I'll tell the story. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I think a common misconception we have in the church is to believe that love is a characteristic of God. But I don't believe love is a characteristic of God, because 1 John 4:8 tells us clearly that God is love. And if that is true, then that means that everything God does is loving. But you know, I don't know that I've appreciated everything God's done in my life. I don't know that I've appreciated every valley that God has taken me to. I don't know that I appreciate the really tough things that God brings my way to strengthen me, to make me more like Jesus. I don't appreciate it. But according to this, even when God brings some tough stuff into our lives, it's totally a loving thing because God is love. And I think we have to begin to look at things that way. We have to begin to understand that this love, you know, God is not just calling us to do something that we can't do, but when He calls us to love this way, He equips us with the love and gives us the wisdom to know how to give out or give away that love. And I wonder, are we really a loving people? I mean, are we really? I preached last night at Western Kentucky University's Baptist campus ministry, and I just started off talking about growing up in the church and looking at all those people in the church saying, man, this stuff can't be real because these people are crazy. Some of you are crazy. Some of you are like, back at you. But I don't mean crazy in a good God kind of way. I mean they were crazy. And they had like a gazillion rules. And their love was defined by how you kept their rules, which by God's definition is not a selfless love. And so it's hard. That's why in all the churches around here, they're not all packed out. I mean, you know, I don't know any of them that are just totally packed out. None. Why? Because if we were loving the way God was telling us to love, people would know that it's real. Sorry. People would know. That was just a big one. I had no way to avoid it. You all saw it. I saw it. You're so kind. Thank you. Sorry. But if we would love people that way and really reach out to people and love them in a way that's costly for us, listen, that's the kind of love He wants us to have. He said, no greater love is this than that someone lay down their life for their brother. Well, excuse me, that's a tall order. Because I kind of like my life. How many of you like your life? How many of you think twice about laying it down for somebody else? The rest of you are lying. Or if you're not, please follow me around for the rest of my life. But this is the kind of love that He's calling us to, a selfless love. He says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. I'm going to try not to stay right here, but I really want to spend some time here. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So following Jesus is about life, and it's about living. And I know that at the end of my life, the life that I've lived will be my offering to God. And He's called me to be faithful, and He's called me to love. I mean, how many times have we heard that? And He's calling us to love that way. I remember one time somebody came up. This was at a previous church. Somebody came up to me after the church, and they handed me a $100 bill. And so they handed me that, and I was like, man, that's, wow, $100. I'm going to eat every day this week. And my wife came up to me later. She didn't know it. She goes, Jamie, there's a lady here, and she's just having the hardest time. She goes, do you think there's any way we could come up with $100 to give her? I was like, no, but we can pray for her. I don't know where we'd get $100. I don't know where we would get that, you know, and then tell the story. And she's like, oh, it's God. I was like, well, are you sure it wasn't 50? Because we see the lady has changed, you know. Ma'am, you have changed for 50. But to really love in a way that is costly to us. And that's not a great example because that didn't cost me nothing. Somebody else was trying to be a blessing to me, but really they weren't. They were trying to be, God already knew He wanted us to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's just how the transaction went down. And I'm telling you, it's not fun being the middleman. Because I thought I had a blessing with my name on it. But apparently I didn't read it well. Somebody else's name was on it. But you know what? That's how God is calling us to be like that. He's calling us to love people that way. And He says He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. I mean, to me, it's one of the greatest paradoxes of the faith is that Jesus died for us so that we might live for Him. And so here here is our lives. And I just want to tell you this. And I really want you to hear this, because a lot of people think when you're a pastor, like, oh man, God's going to use you to change the world. No, that isn't how God set it up at all. Jeff and I, we're exempt from changing the world. You know why? Because He's called us to be pastors. He's called you to change the world. And so the world doesn't need a bunch more pastors. The world needs godly people out in the workplace and in the marketplace and all these different places who will remember that God sent His one and only Son so that you might, what? Live through Him. And so that our lives will be radically different. If this was it, it's in a scare tactic, I'm just curious. I mean, if this was it for us, this was our last day, our last night, and what you had lived up to this point, from this day back, was your offering to God, I wonder, two questions. One, would you be pleased with what you have to offer God? And then that question's not even important. Here's the most important question. Would God be pleased with that offering? And here's great news. This isn't a guilt trip. Because guess what all of us can do about the past? Nothing. It's happened. It's been there. It's gone. It's over. I don't know if it's a flaw or a strength, but what's in the past for me is in the past. I don't worry about it. I don't lose sleep over it. It's done. There's nothing I can do about it. But I can do something about right now. And I can do something about tomorrow. And not that I'm banking on tomorrow. The Bible says it may or may not be here. But I can do something about right now and the way that I'm living my life now. So that if God gives me 10 more years, man, I just want to make it a sterling 10 years that I lived every breath, every muscle for the glory of God. Because He sent His one and only Son that we might live through Him. And so guess what? So people are going to talk about you. Anybody ever get talked about? So I guess some of the students at Western to BCM come to Hillview, because as soon as I walked in, 4 or 5 of them said, well, you're going to hell for not tucking that shirt in. So people are going to say things. So what? So what? Be glad that you're sticking out. You know what I'm saying? If they ain't talking about you, maybe it's because nobody knows you're there. Maybe it's because you're not living your life faithfully. Because I promise you, if you take a step of faith and you live your life for the glory of God, somebody's not going to like it. So I've always tried to look at those voices and those things people say as, hey, maybe I'm just out there enough that I'm noticeable. You know, of course, I always feel like I'm out there enough to be noticeable. But really, living my life in such a way that people know, and they don't like it. You know, as I prayed with somebody today on the phone, I said, man, we got to remember the Bible says that to those who aren't believers in Jesus, the gospel, it's the smell of death. And it's repulsive and it's offensive and it makes them mad and angry. You got anybody in your life just gets mad and angry when you talk about Jesus and you're being nice even? Like, man, Jesus is so good to me. Shut up! Because it's repulsive. Because to them it's the smell of death. And so we're called to live our lives in such a way that we are the aroma of Christ to the world. How's it going? How's that agape love in your life? And like I always want to say, and I'm not counting at home because that's different. Apparently everybody agrees. Yeah, that's a good one, Pastor. We like it. I'll write that down. That's the hardest place to be a Christian, at home. It's the hardest place. It's the hardest place in the world. Man, when my wife's there and I'm preaching, like if she were to sit over there, I'd just rather preach like this all night. You know? Talking to people, you know, doing premarital counseling, saying, here's what you ought to do. And the Lord's like, yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I'll try it. Be really good if you do that. Lord, we're talking to them right now, Lord. But how's it going? Living our lives this way. Because it's supposed to be supernatural, the way that you and I live our lives. So, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. This is love. You want to know what the model, what you're shooting for, what the expectation is? God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life. Because there was no other way. Jesus said, if there's any other way, let this cup be taken from me. And there was no other cup presented. That was it. It was the only way. And so Jesus laid down his life so that you and I, that we could know him, we could have a relationship with him. And God says, by the way, that's your example. And that's the kind of love I want you to have. A costly love. Because you, if you've ever done anything, like whenever we do these first connection projects, we give out stamps or, you know, we go to the laundromats. I mean, it freaks people out. And they always want to know one thing. What do you want? What are you selling? Do I have to go to your church? And some people get mad because, I mean, we don't even invite people to our church. We just go do these things for them. They're like, who sent you? We're like, Jesus. And they hate that. No, seriously. What church are you with? And we say, it doesn't matter. We're just here because we want to remind you that God loves you. And that cost us a Saturday morning to do that. Cost us a Saturday morning. So how, are we really into this? I mean, do you really care? I mean, you're really willing to live your life the way God is calling you? I mean, I talk to so many people and they're struggling spiritually and they're always looking for the answer. You know, so I'm just really struggling. I'm just waiting for God to tell me something. Well, I just want to say this very lovingly. I believe God has already spoke. That we are to love one another. That we are to love others. That we are to serve. And that and our love should sail to the heights of what God has done for us, that it should be a sacrificial love and a costly love. And it goes back to this, that in the toughest times of your life, you want to know how to really get through those tough times? Go serve somebody. Go love somebody. Get out of your self-pity. And let me add something. And me get out of my self-pity. And let's serve somebody. And let's love somebody with this kind of love. With this kind of love. One of my favorite things is when I meet folks who've been brought here. And they came with a friend or they came with a coworker. And if I ever get an extended moment to talk to them, almost every time they'll tell me some extraordinary way that their coworker loved them. Some extraordinary way, something they did for them. I mean, a lot of times I hear this, that, man, I had surgery and my neighbor brought us dinner every night. And that was a tough time, and they did that. And so I'm here today because I thought if they go to that church and that church is like them, that's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. But I ask the question, is that who we are? And don't be quick to say yes, because I believe God is calling us to so much more than we're doing here. And I think we do a lot of great things, but I think God's calling us to more. And it's a pivotal time, and God is saying, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful? I remember one time, God just did some incredible things. And basically the way I got through college, because mom and dad didn't pay for college, so the way I got through college is I preached every weekend. And now, of course, I never charge. They just take up a love offering. It'd be amazing. You go to some huge church and you get just about nothing. But you go to some small little church and it'd just be amazing. I'd be overwhelmed, like, is this right? There's a love. It was incredible. I remember one time a guy called me. He said, Jamie, I just need to sit down and have a meeting with you. I'd like to talk to you. And so I meet this guy, and he's a preacher, and he's a young guy. And he said, I want to begin traveling all over like you do preaching, and I'd just like to know what I need to do. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, I can tell you exactly what to do. He's like, man, that's great. He gets out a notebook. And I don't think I've ever said anything that was notebook worthy. But, you know, he gets out a notebook. And he said, okay, man, what is it? Hit me. I said, be faithful right where you are. And if God desires to take you someplace else, he will. But if you won't be faithful where you are, forget about anything else. Because God has given you what you have right now, and he's calling you to be faithful with it. God has put somebody in your life, and he's asking you to be faithful to them. Listen now, listen. I don't just mean somebody you like. I mean somebody that it's costly to be their friend. Anybody got a friend like that? Don't point. I mean, you got that person, you know, you open caller ID, like, hey, oh, gosh. Well, there's a knock at the door, and you peek through the window, and you're like, oh, goodness gracious. God's put that person in your life. And He's asking you to be faithful with them. And He's asking you to love them in a costly way, in a self-sacrificing way, and to love them, and to listen, to see it through, and to be there, because we ought to love people in a way that says, I will walk this journey with you. I will go every step with you. I will be there with you. And I think it's a great spiritual sounding thing to say, but when that's their expectation, you just want to go back and say, well, here's what I really meant. Because there's been people in our lives, but you know what? Can I just be really honest? I've been that friend that I called and just hoped they'd answer. My life's a mess again. And I need help and I need prayer again. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in my life who just wanted to say, Joe, you're stupid. But they never said that. You know what they said? I love you, man. I'm going to walk this journey with you. And so, you know what? I got through some pretty dark valleys with a few faithful people walking beside me. Because you know what John is saying? We're in this together. The good, the bad, Clint Eastwood, the ugly. Because it has been good, amen? And it's been bad. And it's gotten really ugly. And you know what? Welcome to the planet. And becoming a Christian doesn't get rid of the bad and ugly. But it gives us strength for it. It gives us strength for it. Because now I can walk through this valley. And I can get through this. And I know that it's going to be okay, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to be okay. And this is the kind of love He's asking to have. Listen, this is love. And I love this. And I'll finish with this. Not that we love God. Listen. What God did wasn't a response to what we did first. I mean, here's the crazy thing about it. I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't wondering if I could please God. I wasn't trying to live my life for Him. I was doing what I wanted to do, which has been the theme of my life. But this is love, that He loved us. And how did He love us? He loved us first. He loved us first. I mean, I love it. How did He show His love for us? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I didn't wake up one day and go to God and say, God, I think I'd like to be your friend. I hear you have a lot to offer. Don't know if you've ever thought about me, but I think I'll love you if you'll love me. It didn't happen like that. It didn't happen like that. Listen to what He says. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I've told you this before, but I think it fits here. It wasn't His cross. It was mine. It wasn't His cross. It was yours. And this is love. That before I ever thought about God, He had already loved me. And I could only love Him. Because He first loved me. He initiated this. He started this deal. It was God. And that overwhelms me. That overwhelms me. That He would love me. I don't think that I've presented myself in such a way here that anybody would have me on a pedestal. I think I've shared enough that some of you are just like, well, we need to pray for him, Lord. And you do. You're right. You're right. You do need to. But it overwhelms me. Did He love me first? It overwhelms me that He would bless my life. It overwhelms me that through the hardest parts of life, and especially the parts I created, that He would give me the strength to walk through it. And so now He's calling me to be faithful. And He's calling you to be faithful. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Now, why do you think he says no one's ever seen God? He's just reminding us. We're going to have altars so you guys can come. No one has ever seen God. I mean, that wasn't just a random thought that John wrote down. It was purposeful. No one has ever seen God. But, and here's what I think he's saying. And I didn't know John personally, so I'm reading into this, but I think this is what he's saying. And I'll be gone sometime on Wednesday, and Jeff can correct me, because I'm sure he probably knows it. No one has ever seen God, but, and here's what I think John's really trying to say, but here's how they can see God. Because nobody's ever seen God, so here's the closest they'll come to ever seeing Him, if we love one another. God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. And so you know what that means? You may be the meanest, most hateful person in the world here tonight, but God can love through you in a phenomenal way if you would just submit yourself to Him. And if you would say, God, here's my life. Because I'm going to tell you what frightens me. And I'm going to tell this story. Some of you have heard it. And I'll close with this. I've already said I'll close a couple times. I really will this time. And again, I know this is, some of you have heard this, but I went to my first church in 1995, and I was a youth pastor, smallest county in Kentucky, Trimble County, and I was serving at, this is online, so I was serving at a church there. I guess there's four, so they can all debate which one it was, but I was serving at this church, and as soon as I got there, the pastor left. And I never worked in a church, so I just came to church thinking everybody wanted everybody to get saved. And everybody just wanted to love each other. Well, that's not what was happening. And pretty much that church ate my lunch. I pretty much thought, Lord, if this is the ministry, I don't want to do it. Because I've done stuff in prisons where people were more loving. I'd been to secular social clubs that were more loving than this group of people. And I'm telling you, the end of my career there was I bought a $99 ping pong table for the students. And we started to have from zero to about 40 students started coming, which I thought was amazing. And then I get a call that they want me to deacon's meeting. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great. The deacons have noticed. The youth group's growing. They're excited. They want to praise me. This is going to be great. And I sit down, and this guy was like 130, I think. He's pointed his big, long, bony finger, and he says, who do you think you are spending $99? And I was like, really? And I'm telling you, my daddy hadn't given me a whole lot of chewing outs that were worse than that one. It was pouring down rain. You couldn't see 6 inches in front of yourself. And the meeting was over. Well, I lived like a half a mile from the church, and I'd walked to the meeting. And every deacon offered me a ride. And I was like, oh, no, I'll be fine. I'm just going to walk. It's not raining that hard. So I just remember walking, crying, my eyes out, thinking, what is this, God? And I was so mad at that church and those people. And I just really thought, you know, the heck with them. So I was just biding my time to get out of there and go someplace else. And I did. But here's how I want to tell you this. I was only there a year. You remember what I told that young man who wanted to go and do great big things for God? What did I tell him? Be faithful where you are. And one of the things that I can never go back and do is be faithful at that church, because I wasn't. It's probably one of the most painful parts of my life, but it's not even painful anymore how they treated me. And it was wrong. It was wrong how they treated me. I felt like I had a pretty good case before God. And God would probably agree, except the way I responded to it. I just decided I wasn't going to be faithful. And the most painful part of my life is that 1 year, I know and God knows that I wasn't faithful. And I can never go back and be faithful in that moment. But what God has done with that moment in my life is it so sickens me. I never want to live in another season that I'm not faithful. No matter how I'm treated, no matter what they say about me, I'm not living my life for all those people. I'm living my life for Him. And you know what? And if everybody else isn't pleased, that's tough. Because if God's pleased, that's all that matters. And there are going to be people who are not going to be pleased, but I'm not going to be unfaithful again. And so God, whatever you put before me, whatever you do, God, I just want to be faithful. And so you know what? Let me plead with you. Be faithful in this moment. Be faithful with who God's put in your life. Be faithful with that job maybe that you hate. Be faithful with it. Be faithful to the people God's put around you. Be faithful to your family. You know what? And if you're a member and you're here at Hillview Heights Church, be faithful to your church. Be faithful. Don't look back. And know that there were seasons that you weren't faithful. And if you're like me and have some of those, then here's all we can do. God, from this moment on, I want to be faithful. If it doesn't turn out like I like, if they say things I don't like, if people say things about God, may I never be unfaithful. So Lord, we love you tonight. And we thank you for who you are. I thank you for how you bless our lives, God. And I thank you that you care enough to allow us to be faithful. I thank you that you loved us first. And so God, right now, for this time of altar, there's many of us who haven't been faithful. Many of us who've struggled through seasons. Some of us were struggling right now, God. I pray that this altar would just break open tonight. God, people would just come to this altar and ask for your forgiveness where they haven't been faithful. That we would make promises of being faithful, knowing only that we can be faithful because of you. So God, help us to love each other. And Lord, for somebody here tonight and they don't have a relationship with you, they've already heard tonight, there's no other way. You're it, Jesus. You're the only one who died on the cross, so you're the only hope that we have for eternal life. I pray, Father, you'd bring them to a place where they know their need for you and they'd ask for forgiveness of their sin, invite you to come into their lives, Father. And I pray tonight you would save them. So help us to be faithful, Lord Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. Hey, you know what? And don't wait to start singing. Let's just come now. Come to this altar. And let's just pray. Let's be faithful to whatever God's given us. You come.